All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. And good evening. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. So today we are going to go back into a breakdown of what type of tactical gear would I tell people to buy. I had a good friend of mine, Paul, ask me recently, what would be my top three or top four different picks for what type of tactical gear that I think that the average fighting man of America would need to buy. So this is all based off of, you know, circumstances, but I'm going to give you just a very basic long list of what I own, what I use, and products that I believe in that professionals really use for operations. Everything I'm going to tell you, all this cool guy gear, all this cool tactical stuff, it is very expensive. You're going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars. At the end of the day, what do you invest the most in? That is going to be a personal preference. What do you think you need the most? You may not need everything on this list. And for a lot of you out there, you may not need half or three quarters of what's on this list. But for those of you who are interested in a full kit, I'm going to give you my preferences. Now, I suggest that for all the name brands that I'm going to be using, you go visit their website and you go and, you know, take a look for yourself. But also with some of these other things, I suggest you go on YouTube or some sort of a online learning platform and learn how to also use the gear. It does not matter if you have every single thing on this list. If you don't know how to use the gear, if you don't know how to use your weapon, if you don't know how to apply medical treatment, a lot of this is just going to be useless. So please go out, seek the training from people that are around you, or seek professional training from people that are within the tactical community. You can get online and visit places like T-Rex Arms or Grand Thumb, and they have all different types of people that will come onto their show and do training. T-Rex Arms, Lucas Botkin, he's a very popular person within the Second Amendment community. And he's a great shooter. He has a lot of really great training videos. Grand Thumb is another guy. You can go to either one of their YouTube videos. There's a bunch of people out there. I'm just telling you what it is that me and a bunch of my friends tend to stick with. You'll need to learn a lot of the lingo if you don't know it. Just sit there and watch the videos and be a sponge and absorb as much information as possible. If you do happen to go to any type of shooting range and you're paying for professional training, go there with an open mind. Don't go there knowing that or thinking that you know everything. Just go there ready to learn and try to have some fun. A lot of this may be monotonous to some people who have the training already, but if you don't have the training, at least understand the basic fundamentals of marksmanship, the basic fundamentals of weapon safety, and know what your gear that you're buying is used for and when you should use it and how you should also store it, how you should transport it across state lines, how you should transport it when you're on a airplane. There's a lot of TSA rules for carrying body armor or for carrying weapons, so know that. I'm not going to teach you that. Anyways, we're about to get into it. So once again, this is my top pick of what I think the American patriot would need. Let's just say hypothetically, in case we get invaded by somebody, or we have a complete tyrannical uprising in this country, or aliens come down from space and decide to invade all of us. I just want you to be ready. I want you to have good gear. I want you to know what we within the professional community like to use. Now, there's going to be a lot of things that I'm not mentioning that people use. I'm just giving you my favorites. So right off the top, we're going to go head to toe. So ballistic helmets. I prefer a fast cut helmet, which is a high cut helmet, which means that the ballistic protection does not go over the ears. This makes the ballistic helmet lighter, makes it more comfortable to use if you're wearing a helmet for hours upon hours like I was used to doing. Helmets tend to give you a headache. The suspension system within the helmet, you know, you're going to have different preferences. It could be one of the turnstile buckles that adjusts, or you can have an H-harness or a worm dial. There's all different types of things, but there's about three main ones that I just mentioned. You know, choose which one that you like. Try and find a vendor and go and try out their product before you buy it. So here's my top three. OpsCore Fast SF Super High Cut Ballistic Helmet. That's going to be about $1,600. Team Wendy, their ballistic helmet, the high cut. That's going to be about $1,600. The Revision Cayman, also produced by Galvion, which is G-A-L-V-I-O-N. So you can visit them at galvion.com. That's about $1,800. That is the helmet that I've worn for the past 2 years. I love that helmet. It's very light. It's very user-friendly. And I've never had a problem with that helmet, ever. I wouldn't trade it for probably any of the other two. So that's just my favorite. Ballistic plates. So I'm going to talk about front and back plates together when this includes pricing. And once again, I'm not labeling everyone out there and their plates. I would tell you to stay away from steel plates. You know, but once again, this comes down to maybe your budget. So if it's budget friendly to you, then sure, go ahead. Some level of protection is, like, I guess, is better than none. But if you are going to spend the money, check out these plates. HESCO ballistic plates. That's the 3810 level 3 plus sappy cut model. That's about $1,900 a pair. Bulletproof It is one that a ranger friend of mine absolutely loves. He's worn that on operations with me for a couple years now. He has the buoyant plates. Really cool. They kind of help you float in water. So if you're in that situation, these would be good plates to have. But they're a composite armor, and I believe they're about $1,000 a pair, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. You can always go to bulletproofit.com and contact their sales rep and find out, you know, how much a plate is for them. The other one is the plates that I currently carry, which is Hardwire Level 3 Plus Lightweight Plates. They're a multi-curve plate. They're about $1,400 a pair, so you're looking about a little more than $700 a plate. I strongly recommend the Hardwire Level 3 Plus. They're extremely light. I mean, you don't even feel it whenever you're wearing a plate carrier with the plates in, which is just amazing. Being really light helps you with your mobility. It also helps you with your energy. When you start having a lot of weight on you, and, you know, once again, let's just say the Russians are invading, all right? And you and a bunch of cool guys have met together, and you've all discussed, you know, each other's cool guy gear. And, you know, some of you had to take out a mortgage on your gear because you spent so much. These plates will help you to go further, longer, and to be, I guess you could say, more energized when you get to the fun spot. So that sounds really bad. I wore these plates during my operations in 2020 while we were in Portland, Oregon. Absolutely loved it. It was a game changer for me. I've worn other level 3 plates that I just didn't really have any want or need to wear them. And the only reason why, I guess you can say, I went to wearing these other brands of level 3 plates is because I was tired of my ESAPI level 4 plates. You know, I have extra large plates, and they're about 10 pounds a piece, so 20 pounds of armor. Everything starts to just weigh down on you. You know, they are armor-piercing resistant, so that does help. However, in the environment that I was in, I needed something lighter more than I needed that heavier armor. Now, depending on what you're doing, or depending on who's invading us, a level 4 armor may be exactly what you need. So, you know, this really comes down to your budget. It comes down to how you want to, I guess, employ yourself in a field of battle or in combat, or out on the range just having fun, or, you know, something that you want to use for a home defense Body armor kit, that all depends on you. My money still goes to the Hardwire level 3 lightweight plates. So skipping down, now we have plate carriers. There are dozens upon dozens of people or companies making different types of plate carriers, and a lot of them look exactly the same. I would say stay away from a lot of the plate carriers that look exactly the same, especially if they're not made in the United States. And almost everything in this list, besides maybe two or three things, are all made in the United States. So, I strongly suggest three different kinds of plate carriers. The Cry Precision JPC, which is the jumpable plate carrier. That's about $200 to $250. The Spiritus Systems Overt front and back plate carrier. It's about $300 altogether, plus a cummerbund. The Ferro Concepts plate carrier, you're going to be about $300 plus a cummerbund on that one. So let's just go ahead and say all three of them, you're roughly around $300. Now you could add on to that and you can take away from that. Make it as lightweight as you want. The thing that I like about all three of these plate carriers, the Cry Precision, the Spiritus Systems, and the Ferro Concepts, is that they all have zipper panels on the back, and all three of these companies have a back panel or a backpack that can be zippered onto your back so that you're not having to wear a backpack over your shoulders, because that ends up getting in the way of your rifle sling, ends up, you know, causing some maneuverability issues. I remember when I used to wear stuff like that for like breaching kits. You start having a lot of weight on you, and then it starts digging into your shoulders, can make your arms go numb, can just be very irritable. So I try to avoid having a lot of stuff on my back if possible. But if I'm in a team environment, then I want something that is a panel that I can adjust depending on the mission. And Cry, Spiritus, and Ferro, they have multiple different options for their back panels. It's really, really great gear, so please check those out. The fourth one, what I would say for the average civilian, if you just want a decent plate carrier that's made in America, and you know it's pretty much the same as the other three, go with T-Rex Arms and check out their AC1. They got it on their online store for about $190. You really can't go wrong with it. Once again, it's a cummerbund like system, so just like all three of these, they all have a Molly structural cummerbund, or you can have a, I don't know, like a cinching cummerbund that you can actually put magazines in with the pockets that are on the side or whatever will fit in those pockets. I've wore that for about a year. It's pretty good. I ended up going to more of a skeletal based system because I needed to mount all different types of pouches and radios and all kinds of crap around me. So if you just need the basics, T-Rex Arms, that's going to be your cheapest one. It's going to be probably one of the best out there for maneuverability. All right, so war belts. We touched on this yesterday, but I'm going to go back over it again. The Ronin Tactics Senshi belt. It's about $200 to $240, depending on which model you get. I wore that belt for, God, probably 7 years before I started to see any type of wear or tear on the belt. I mean, and I put it through a lot, and that belt held up to every standard and every test and still does to this day. The belt is still great. So I would strongly suggest that one. That's my number one pick. Second one is Raptor Tactical, the Odin Mark III. It's about $120, $110, $120, depending on the model. I like that belt a lot. It's just like the Ronin Tactics belt. It's just they have their own little spin on it. And both of those are very, very, very good belts. The next one, T-Rex Arms, Orion Outer Belt. So with this outer belt, it provides a system where you will slide a inner belt inside of this paneled belt. And on the outside of the panels are Molly, which is the ability to attach a knife, a pouch, anything that takes Molly webbing panels, you can attach to the outside. I had another friend of mine during operations, he wore it quite a bit. Really liked it, didn't have any problems with it. HSGI makes a belt that's similar to it, but it's kind of big. kind of heavy and has a really big thick foam inside of it, which gives you a little bit, you know, wider of a profile. So the T-Rex Arms does not really have that so much, so it gives you a little slimmer of a profile. It really depends on what it is that you like. If you do get the T-Rex Arms, that's about $110 for their Orion outer belt. So you'll need to have another belt on the inside. And I mean, you can use whatever you want. You can use a Cobra belt. You can use some other type of military style belt. Or you can use a leather belt. So if you actually have an outer belt, I actually prefer to use a leather belt. That way I can cinch it down a lot more depending on the environment. I may be wearing thicker clothes and I may not need to cinch it down as much because of layering. So just consider that part. The next one, combat pants. So when it comes to wearing all this type of gear, really what you need is the ability to protect yourself. So that's your torso and your head. We really ain't got too much for the face. So that kind of sucks. You can have some of the ballistic jaw mandible things that you see that look kind of ridiculous. I would just avoid that. But right now, you know, protection wise, all we really have is for the head and for the torso. But you know, everything else, these can be worn with everyday clothes. But if you're wanting to look cool on the range, or if you're wanting to look menacing in front of the Russians, well, you can get you some good, you know, combat pants. Probably the best combat pants that are out there, and they're the king of the combat pants, or the Cry Precision G3 pants. Now, they're about $290 a pant, but that's also buying the knee pad inserts. I've worn those pants for years. They are phenomenal. They're extremely comfortable after you've washed them a couple times. The pockets are perfectly placed. The ability to cinch down the material behind the knee or around the boot, around the ankle. It has a fully gusseted crotch. It has stretch panels within the thighs and within the rear of the seat of where your belt would go. I mean, the pant was really constructed for the operators in use. It is probably the best tactical pants that are out there, and it's going to be really, really hard for anyone to improve upon. That's why they have just owned this field for years and years. Once again, you know, it's about $290, and those are probably going to last you probably a good 4 or 5 years before you would ever even need to exchange them for a new pair. I've owned mine for about 3 years now, and they still feel brand new. They're just comfortable now. They're the most comfortable pants that I wore. UF Pro Striker Pants, that's the number two. They're not made in the United States. They're about $240 to $300, but they're very similar to the Cry Precision G3 pants. And we've had guys that wore those as well. They liked them a lot. So I never personally worn them. But I know a bunch of guys who did, and they really preferred those compared to a lot of the other garbage that we were issued. So that's a good one. Check that one out. The next one are my everyday pants that I wear for training. I wear them when I'm working out here at the house. I wear them going out in town. I absolutely love these pants, and they're the Vertex Delta Stretch Pants. They're under $100. They're just a normal pants, but they have pockets that are built on the sides that you can put a multi-tool, a flashlight, a knife, a magazine in. They have another pocket that's on the beside the rear pocket that fits a radio, or it'll fit an AR style magazine into. They're great pants. They're fully four-way stretch. Absolutely love these pants. If the world was going to end and I needed to grab me a secondary set of clothes, my Delta Stretch pants are going in my luggage. So we've ran across a bunch of things so far. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we will be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. and sadly they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes, precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
And we're back. This is American Vindicta, and we are going to continue with our list of what my top picks are for tactical apparel and tactical gear. This isn't a fully composed list. This is just stuff that I've jotted down so far that I think I can cram in 1 hour. So starting back off, we left combat pants. Now we're going to roll into combat shirts. So with combat shirts, we're visiting our friends from Cry Precision again. Your regular combat shirt's going to be about $180. You know, it's a very well-made shirt. I prefer it over everything else. And I've worn a lot of these shirts that are really cheap, cheaply made, and they just feel like cardboard wrapped around you. So I like all my clothes to be very comfortable because I'm probably going to be wearing them for a very long time. And I want them to be very durable. And Cry Precision, I still say, makes the best combat apparel. Period. Hands down. So their Cry Precision shirts, combat shirts, going to be about $180. The next one, a Ranger friend of mine said that he prefers the Patagonia Level 9 Next to Skin shirt. They're about $140. He told me that when he was in the Rangers, they wore these a few times, and they really liked them. So check out Patagonia, their Level 9 Nexus Skin shirts. Third on the list is the UF Pro Striker. So that's another one of the companies that's outside the United States. It's about $150 to $180. They may have some higher models than that. Really good gear. Once again, it's very comparable to Cry Precision. Boots. So when we talk about boots, I'm not talking about you're going out to, you know, mow down the Chinese and fight the Russians off and all that good stuff in a pair of cowboy boots or, you know, some sort of just ridiculous style boots. The things that I would tell you to buy are lightweight hiking boots that have some level of Gore-Tex protection in them against water. Yeah, that might make your feet sweat just a little bit, but the ability to have your feet, your socks protected from any type of elements of water, it's always going to be really good, really beneficial. Water is a four-season element, so you can always accidentally step off in water, so it's good to keep your feet dry. Starting off, we have the Merrell Moabs. Then we have Salomon Quest 4s. I own these. Those are great mountaineering-style boots. I wore those during a lot of winter operations. My favorite, number three, is the Oboz Premium Mid Waterproof Hiking Boots. You can find that on REI. They're an all-leather boot. I use those every single day. I wear them every single day for the last year, and I will continue to buy those boots until I find something better. I wore Salomon's for probably a good 8 years. Until I found these Oboz boots, and they're made out of Missoula, Montana. So that's pretty cool. Absolutely love them. They're lightweight. I've done a lot of stuff in these boots. I deadlift in them. I've ran in them. Been on operations with them. I like them a lot. Can't say enough about them. Next one is number four. So it's Lowa's boots. L-O-W-A. They have various different types of boots on there. Pretty much every single one of their boots are very, very well made. So check out whichever one you just prefer. Next one is number 5 for our list. Salomon, the X Ultra 4 Mid Gore-Tex boots. These are the ones I wore for a very, very long time. They're very comfortable. They have an orthopedic sole in them, just like the Oboes do. So I prefer those to a lot of other boots, but still, my Oboes are my pick, and that's O-B-O-Z, Oboes. Socks. So this may seem kind of funny to people, but you need to make sure you have the right pair of socks on. If you have a lot of these synthetic blend or, mainly cotton blend, Hanes-style socks, that's going to have a lot of water that it's going to accumulate. It's going to make your feet stink. It's going to be very uncomfortable, and you're just going to end up throwing them away. They don't last very long. They may be cushiony at first, but they get destroyed once you really start getting going with walking. So what type of socks do we use? Well, I have two that I prefer. Darn Tough socks are one, and Smart Wool are the other. I prefer wool socks. They have an antimicrobial from the wool. They have a little bit of fire resistance in them because of its wool. It's not gonna draw in a lot of water from the sweat. They're great socks. They really had the end user in mind because these socks are mainly built for people that are going to be hiking. Which, if you're in a prophecy hit the fan doomsday like scenario, you're probably gonna be doing a lot of walking, a lot of hiking. So you want really good socks. I mean, really, really good socks. That's gonna be one of those things where, you're going to be complaining about it a lot if you have bad shoes and bad socks. So there's your two. Darn Tough and Smart Wool. All right. Holsters. So we went over pistol holsters yesterday. I'm going to go back over it real quick. The Safariland ALS holster, they're about $100 to $200. T-Rex Arms would be the other one that I would suggest for their holsters. I have some of theirs. They're pretty good. The Ragnarok holsters. You're probably around $200 for those as well. Very, very well-made holsters. Rifle slings. We have the Vickers Tactical, the Viking sling. I have that on probably three of my rifles right now. The Haley Strategic sling that they just came out with is another really cool one. Every sling that I'm telling you to buy is going to be a two-point sling. And a two-point sling means that the points are going to connect at the rail, at the front part of the weapon, and on the buttstock. So that's kind of how you would carry it. Look up two-point sling if you don't know what I'm talking about. But with the Haley Strategic sling, it can actually go from a two-point to a one-point sling via a quick disconnect button. So that's pretty cool. The next one is the Faro Concept Slingster. That was one of my favorite ones until I finally broke the dang thing. Faro Concept Slingster is a very small, lightweight sling. It's very easy to use. You can tighten it and loosen it very quickly without any problems. I like that sling a lot. All right, rifles. So I get asked all the time, what type of weapon should I look at buying? And this really comes down to preference. What are you using it for? Is it home defense? Are you protecting livestock? Are you using it for the range? Are you just buying it to look cool in front of all your friends? Depending on what you want that rifle, I still say stick to an AR style rifle. It's one of the most common weapons used in America. Magazines are very common. If it's a prophecy hit the fan style scenario and you meet up with a group of like-minded individuals, more than likely they'll have ARs, which means more than likely you'll be able to share your magazines with people. So, that's a very unique thing to be able to do. So, 6-Hour MCX, that's what me and some of my friends have. It's an amazing weapon system. Daniel Defense, they make a very good weapon. And BCM, there's another one. These two companies, both their weapons are used by the military along with 6-Hour. And the number 4 is Geisley. Geisley is an excellent, excellent manufacturer of weapons and other type of accoutrements that they have for the weapons. Probably one of the best scope mounts that you can buy is also from Geissele. I don't have that wrote down on here, but I do have one of their scope mounts. They're awesome. So here we go. What's next? What do we go with our rifles? Let's talk about the optics. So Red Dot optics. So this is, we're just going to go over the brands for the rifle. I have five of them listed and the prices to go along with it. And I looked up these prices on opticsplanet.com. So, you know, you may find better prices somewhere else like Cabela's or Brownells. But, you know, you can check these out. Aimpoint, we use that in my previous business quite a bit. Very good little optic. Took a little bit to get used to because we shot at EOTech for so long. But Aimpoint's very good. You're going to be about $500 to $1,000 for that red dot. And these are all one magnification. The Trigicon MRO, you're about $450. The EOTech, they have several different models on there, so it really just depends on what you want to do with it. But your basics are going to be between $400 and $700 a model. I used EOTech for a very long time. Very trusting, reliable little optic. Another company that's kind of up and coming, been a while for a little bit, but it's not very popular, is the HoloSun. They make a lot of products that are very comparable to EOTech and Aimpoint. Their red dot sights, the basic models are going to be between $130 and $300. Then the number six, Trigicon ACOG. I used that while I was in the Marine Corps Infantry. It is a very accurate, very well-made, very hardy little optic. That's going to be the most expensive one, and that's $1,100. Can't really go wrong with any of those. I will say that Sig Sauer and Vortex make red dot optics that are very well. I have a Sig Sauer Romeo. I actually have three or four of their Romeos. And a Vortex Spark, you know, just things to put on some hunting rifles and some playing around rifles. You're going to be about $120 to $500 for the red dots. They're all pretty good. Really haven't had any problem with any of those. Low power variable optics, or LPVO as we would call them. So this is going to be your in between the red dot one by magnification and your long range precision style optics. So I would say that if you can shop around, find one that's between a 1 and 10 magnification. Your most commons are going to be 1 to 6 or 1 to 8 magnification. But the Vortex Razor HD Gen 2 6x24 is a probably the best one on the list that I have wrote down. That's going to be about $1,400. Trigicon Credo is the CR828 model. That's a 1 to 8 magnification, and that's with the MRAD reticle. That's about $1,300. Elcan 1 to 4 magnification. I actually have that on my MCX right behind me, and that's the Spectre Dual Roll. That's a 1 to 4 magnification, and that's about $1,900. What's really cool about that one is that I can keep it on the 1x magnification and flip the switch forward that's on the left-hand side of it. And it'll instantly go to 4 magnifications. Very accurate. I like it a lot. It's really fun to shoot. 6-hour Tango 4. I think it's their 1-6. That's a pretty good one. I've got to play with it a couple times. Not enough to be very familiar with it. But I do have some buddies of mine that really like SIG's electro-optics, have really, really good reviews on them. And so those top four, check those out. Vortex, Trigicon, Elcan, Sig Sauer. Primary Arms is another one that makes a pretty good optic. It's going to be a little bit of a cheaper model. And, you know, you also have, let's see. Right now, we'll just stick to that. We'll stick to that. Long-range optics. So, currently what I have on my 6.5 Creedmoor. the Vortex Razor HD Gen 2. It's a 4.5 to 27 magnification with the 56 millimeter. That's going to be about $2,000. So the price has come down from a couple years ago when I had first bought it. And I found that price on Optics Planet. So it's about $1,999. The Sig Sauer Tango 6. That's a 5x30 magnification. I actually have really researched that. I was going to get it, but I ended up going with the Gen 2 Razor instead. So that's about $1,550 off of Optics Planet. And then to throw a bone to Primary Arms, because I really do like their first focal plane and their Christmas tree style reticles. The Primary Arms Platinum series, they have the Athena and Apollo series that are two that I've played around with. They're about $1,500. They're pretty cool. I like those a lot. All right, so when it comes to cool guy gear that you can put on your weapon, this really needs to be curtailed to what are you using this for and what's your level of training. Because what I'm about to mention, 99% of the people don't need it. But if you have the money, sure, go out and buy it. But they only work with night vision devices. So if you have NVGs, then what we're about to talk about, will help you. Laser devices. So the laser devices that you can put on your rifle, the top three that I have are the MAWL, M-A-W-L, C1 laser device. That's about $2,800. You can get on TNVC and a couple other websites. Bob Griswold at Ready Made Preparedness also sells a couple of these. You can always call Bob and ask him what he thinks about some of these. Number two is the LA-5. That's going to be about $1,300. And then number three is the D-Ball, D-B-A-L. That's going to be about $1,500. So that's my top three picks for laser devices. Once again, many of you probably won't need that. And I would tell you to, if you really don't need it, save your money and go out and train with that money. Buy ammunition and train, or pay a professional to run you through the ropes on some different training drills and get the gun time before you start getting all the Batman gadgets. All right, so let's roll into NVGs, your night vision goggles, night vision devices. This is another one of those things where if you don't need it, do not waste your money on it. But, however, if you can see in the dark, that is a very, very good thing to have. So, DT-NVS. These are dual tube. So that's going to be about $10,000 to $13,000. You could buy you a truck with that. But a truck can't let you see in night vision. So night vision is one of those things, if you're coyote hunting or knocking down hogs out in your field, or trying to see the bad guy coming up behind you whenever Americans have been taken over, well, night vision is one of those things that I would strongly suggest you to buy. PVS-31s, that's something the military obviously uses. That's about $13,000. And then you have the PVS-14 single tube, mono tube, so single tube. That's going to be about $3,000 to $4,000 for a new one. So when I was in the Marine Corps, we ran PVS-14s. We only had one. So we were too broke and poor to look like the cool Rangers who had the dual tubes, or the SEALs now with the quad tubes. All right. We will update you on suppressors. There's all different types of suppressors out there. Your state may not even allow you to own a suppressor, or even let alone own a magazine that has more than 10 rounds in it. So if you do live in one of those states that suck, move out of there, go to a real free state. Texas is always the most inviting. All right, continuing, thermal imaging devices. So being able to see at night with night vision is really cool, but you can still be really still and be overlooked and not seen. There are ways to find people or to find animals. that are still out in the field that you normally would not see. And the FLIR Scout TK Mini Monocular. It's about $600. I've had that thing for about 4 years now. Still works fine with me. You can actually take pictures with it at what you're looking at. It has all different types of spectrums of color of light that you can go through. It's a really cool little device. The next one is the FLIR Scion, the OTM. Now, that's about $2,500. It's a bigger version than the Scout. It has a couple more things that I can do, and it has, I think, some magnification. So, you cannot go wrong with FLIR. FLIR has been the king of the industry when it comes to thermal imaging for the longest time, especially for civilian use. We also use it in the military. I really like FLIR. I could not tell you enough that if you have your bug out kit or you have something, you know, for your home defense, or you have, you know, stuff that you keep away in your vehicle, keep a FLIR on you. You never know just who is hiding in the bushes, and your night vision may not be able to see it. Thermal's probably going to be able to see it, though. Hard to hide from the thermal. And then number three, most of you will not be able to afford this. Won't even know what to do with it. But for those of us in this profession, if you can get the Ecoti, ECOTI, thermal imaging device, that's pretty dang cool. It's about as cool as it gets. They're real small. They attach to your night vision goggles, and you know, it projects thermals, a thermal image, on top of the night vision image. A little bit of science goes into it, but they're really, really neat. They're really, really cool. So that's about, you know, $8,500 for that, just in case you really had some money and you wanted to spend. All right, next we're getting into pistols. So I'm very particular about my pistols. I don't try to stray away and buy all different types of variants. I like Glock, I like SIG, and then I like wheel guns. I think if you're going to have a wheel gun, a revolver, have a Magnum of some sort. 357, 44 Magnum. You really can't go wrong with either one of those. They're man-stopping power. You'll be able to kill that wild dog. You know, you can take down game with it if you need to. A Magnum is definitely the direction I would always send you to when it comes to a pistol. But when it comes to the semi-automatic pistols, I would say Glock is king. Next would be the SIG P320. That's a new up-and-comer. It's a very good weapon. It's very similar to the Glock. And I would tell you to stick to the 9mm, which is a Glock 19 compact, or the Glock 22, which is a 40 caliber, which is a full size. And then you also have the Glock 17, which is a 9mm full size. Any of those pistols are good. Any of those pistols were most likely what law enforcement is carrying anyways, or what the military carries. So there's your reputation for them right there. Weapon-mounted flashlight brands. Went over this a little bit yesterday, but I think we probably need to go over it again. Streamlight TLR1 High Lumen. That's what I use personally for my rifle and my pistol. They're about $180 for the kit that has the pressure pad on it. For what I use them for, they're very well made. They throw out the light long enough for what I need to see at night. So the other ones are the Surefire Scout for your rifle. That's about $300, not counting the mounting, because you would need your own. A lot of these you may need additional mounting hardware, but I think the Surefire Scout comes with mounting hardware. The other one's the Mod Light. That's about $300. Very high lumen for the Surefire and for the Mod Light and the Streamlight. All of them are very well made. Professionals use all of them, so that's the three that I would tell you. All right. Next, chest rigs. So we have the Spiritus Microfight Chassis Mark IV. I own two of those. They're very neat. It has two different pockets on it with Velcro on the back, so you can put that on, take that on and off of your plate carriers. I like the fact that I can put an AR magazine between that's a 5.56 or a 7.62, or even something that carries a 308 AR-10 style magazine in it. You have the ability to also in the because it has two different pockets on it. You can also put a pouch in it on the front, or you can put pistol magazines across the front of it. Check it out. Spiritus Systems Microfight Chassis. They're about $150 fully equipped, depending on all the different stuff you put on it. The next one is one that I've used for years and years. Haley Strategic D3CRM Micro. Fully equipped, that's about $200. When I say fully equipped, that means it has the insert for 5.56 inserts. So a lot of these is just blank. They don't have the inserts on them because that's how you can actually put different types of ammunition sources inside your chest rig. What I like about Haley Strategic is on either side of the plate, either side of the chest rig, it has little general purpose pouches that I was either keeping multi-tools or flashlights or tourniquets in. I had that as part of my active shooter kit for a long time. I just had tourniquets everywhere. So that's probably my go-to for that one. The next one is the Haley Strategic D3CRX Heavy. That's about $230, fully kitted out. That's one that you would run your AR-10 style magazines in or your 7.62 magazines in. I have a bunch of different pouches and stuff on it. I like them that they're all sleek. Another reason why I like Haley Strategic so much for their chest rigs is they also have something called the Flat Pack and the Flat Pack Plus that I also own. So the chest rig and the backpack actually will buckle all together. That would make a non-ballistic like chest rig that you have your backpack attached to it. But their backpack can also be woven through Molly that would be on the back panel of your plate carrier. So now instead of carrying a backpack across shoulders, it'll just Molly right into your plate carrier. So that's how a couple of my plate carriers are already set up. And we're going to go to a break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to talk about medical equipment.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing, and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And we're back. This is American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton, and we are going to be talking now about the final preparation for your battlefield, patriotic, waiting for doomsday World War III cool guy kit. And that's going to be your medical kit. All this stuff that I've talked about for the last 50 minutes is really cool gear. It's, a lot of it's really, really expensive. You probably don't need half of it. But it is good gear that professionals use. And one thing that every single professional that is in law enforcement or military or some sort of security that's armed security should have on them and more than likely have on them is a very good medical kit. Medical kits I'm talking about will sometimes say MFAC or IFAC. That's IFAK. And the individual field kits for these, you know, they started coming out with them in the military. And I remember whenever we had them, we would position them behind our weak-sided arm, most of the time just behind our left arm, and you couldn't get to them yourself. So more or less, it was made for your buddy to come and give you buddy care. So if you got shot, you got hurt or lacerated, broken bone, you fell down, you're out of the fight, everyone knew where your medical kit was on you. But you couldn't really apply it yourself. So we now, thankfully, the industry has developed a new style of a medical pouch and a new place to put it. And all of my kits are set up the exact same way. And it's either called the Dangler pouch or the Sack pouch. Ferro Concepts, Haley Strategic, Spiritus Systems, they all sell these pouches. There's a bunch of different companies who sell these pouches now. But it is a pouch that will go in front of the plate carrier. It will dangle down towards the middle part of your torso, towards your abdomen. And that's where I keep all of my most needed medical supplies at. And when I say most needed, that's where I'm going to keep a spare tourniquet, a hemostatic bandage that'll help with controlling bleeding, a pressure bandage, and a thin roll of Gorilla style duct tape, or, you know, just thin roll of duct tape. And the reason why I use duct tape instead of medical tape is duct tape sticks a lot better even whenever it's wet. And you can just go round and round and round and really help cinch a pressure dressing down. Also a pressure dressing. So I do have another medical kit that I do keep on me somewhere around my gun belt. And, you know, that'll have additional gauze in it, additional gloves in it, nitrile gloves or what we call medical gloves. I'll also have typically somewhere on my plate carrier a pair of trauma shears. I use the Leatherman trauma shears. I think they're called the Raptors, about $80. Really nifty stuff. Stuff I was given when I was on when I was in DHS. So I like those a lot. You don't have to have $80 scissors on you. Trauma shears are, I think, about $2 on Amazon. So I would tell you to more than likely just go with those and save your money. But I'm going to give you two of my choice picks for where I want you to go to take a look and get a medical kit. North American Rescue, the ROO MFAC kit. Go with the advanced option. It has this more crap in it. They're about $140.99. And then the other one is the Dark Angel Medical. That's their website. Look up their Spear Trauma Kit and also their Emergency Bleeding Control Kit. Both of these are very good. I would tell you to have both. And I would tell you also, whatever you have for a trauma kit, buy duplicates of it. Buy three or four of them. Put one in your house. Put one in your car. Put one on your kit. Put one on your four-wheeler or out in your barn or, you know, wherever you'll be most involved with outside chores and tools and all that kinds of stuff. So what does a medical kit need to have in it? Well, you should have tourniquets. Don't go with the cheap knockoff tourniquet. North American Rescue sells them. That's where I buy most of my tourniquets from. Chest seals, combat gauze, which normally it's a combat gauze that has some sort of a hemostatic agent in it that helps with the clotting of blood. A hemostatic pressure bandage, which is something that you'd use for like large lacerations. Just a normal pressure bandage for any types of, you know, ouches and boo-boos that you have. Thin strips of duct tape is always a good one. Burn dressing, a Israeli bandage, extra gauze, trauma shears, the medical or nitrile gloves. Quick Clot, I think it's called the sponge dressing. You can normally buy that. We buy it at a place called Academy here. But at most of your sporting goods stores, they have the Quick Clot style hemostatic compression bandage. All those things are very good. They're not a lot of, it doesn't take a lot to have a good portion of medical gear. It's not very expensive, but they do have expiration dates. Probably another really good company is H&H. Their medical gear is superb. I love their stuff. But a lot of the stuff, it does have expiration dates on it. So when you buy it, you know, check on the expiration date. You may be able to stretch it a year or two past it, but I would call the manufacturer and double check on that. So just, you know, if you buy four or five kits, just make sure within, you know, 3 to 5 years, you may be needing to replace it. Get proper training. Have the knowledge to use everything that I have talked about. I can run my mouth for an hour about all different types of stuff. I can tell you what types of gun drills to go and practice, what type of medical drills to go and practice, what type of active shooter drills that you should be practicing, defense style drills that you should be practicing at your house. But instead of just sitting here telling you, I'm telling you to go to YouTube and research it. There are hundreds of videos from people who have made very professional grade, very well thought out gun drills, medical drills. When it comes to medical stuff, a guy called Skinny Medic, he has some really good stuff on YouTube. Check him out. T-Rex Arms, Lucas Botkin, he has some pretty cool gun drills on there. Grand Thumb, he has some pretty cool gun drills on there. There's a couple other guys that are out there that are just kind of missing in my mind right now, but I know they, both of those two sources, they will tell you different companies that you can use for training. Get trained, get prepared, have the head knowledge, just like with bushcraft skills. Have the head knowledge, but practice it so that when you need to apply it, you're comfortable with it and you're confident in it. Just like with shooting, just like with self-defense or grappling or boxing, carpentry skills, electric skills, all these things, you need to practice it so that you are very confident in yourself. That is probably one of the biggest things that I can tell you that you will need is your own self-confidence, your confidence within your own skills. And if you learn these skills, you can then teach others these skills during a time of crisis. Because if we get invaded, or if we have some huge thing that happens in the United States, I don't want to jinx myself here, we may need to be teaching each other out in the middle of the woods different types of skills. America, stay prayed up, stay prepared. This is American Vindicta, out.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.